Let us explore the Bible together on Glorious Morning Study Hour on AWR SID Media. From broadcast to baptism.
So this week in our Make It Practical segment, we are looking at the theme Christianity and cultural engagement, right? Where these two intersect, where there's some overlap and some crossroads where they will engage. And this is what we are focusing on today. Our look is at excellence in exile and talking about Daniel's story. Elder Mbangu comes through on the line to help us make sense of it. Now, you've all perhaps likely felt it at some point, that sense that our culture and our faith are moving in opposite directions. Being a Christian feels like you're being a stranger in a strange land. But what if that exile is exactly what we're meant to be? Citizens from another country, right? Ambassadors at large. Today we are going to be looking at Daniel, a man who lived in the heart of a secular empire without losing his soul. How do we stay excellent in our careers, faithful in our prayers, and steady when the lions start circling? Let's talk about how to thrive whilst in a modern day Babylon. Muruti, Dala, good morning to you, and we welcome you to the segment.
Blessed morning, Brother Derek. Blessed morning to all the listeners. I hope you're doing well today.
Thank you.
Give God the glory.
Yes, amen and amen. Thank you so much, my elder, and I appreciate you for coming through. We are doing all right. The Lord has been keeping us, and we pray the same for you as well.
Amen, amen.
Amen. Thank you. So today we are continuing with our conversation, looking at issues of culture and engagement from a Christian perspective. And we want to find out if there are lessons we can learn from the pages of Daniel's writings to face our modern day Babylonian experience. Daniel and his friends were forced to learn the language and the literature of a culture that did not share their values, right? And then to imitate and assimilate this into their own lives. How do we engage with secular education and media while remaining rooted in Scripture? Is that a navigation that we are able to undertake?
Very powerful question. Let us pray so that we can get into it.
Mm-hmm.
Father, we are blessed this morning because you have woken us up. Thank you for this morning. And Holy Spirit, we invite you in this place, continue to speak through us, because we are your vessels. And so, Lord, may this light be lighted up so that the whole world will know you. It is in the wonderful and powerful name of Jesus we pray. Amen.
Amen.
And you have posed a very, very important question, Brother Derek. You know what? Knowledge is power.
Okay.
And the problem is not the secular knowledge. That can deviate us.
Mm-hmm.
When we look at Daniel's life, the most important thing that we can learn from there is that first and foremost, Daniel was grounded in the Word.
Mm-hmm.
When we are grounded in the Word first, when the Scripture is the foundation and not the afterthought,
okay,
then our lives are pointed to Jesus. And any thing that comes our way will not destabilize us. Education, language, and culture, as it was with Daniel, will not remove us from the place of worship. No, to the contrary, when we are learning, the more knowledge we have, the more science we acquire in our head, the more knowledge we acquire, it actually exposes God more, mm-hmm, as in the case of Daniel. So mm-hmm, the most important thing is our grounding. When one is grounded in the Word first. Now, the problem is most of us who invest this, we want to pursue the world, we want to pursue secular knowledge, and then we want the Word of God to be the filler, fill in the blank. It doesn't work that way. And so you find that, Brother Derek, most of people, they are thrown off balance because now they get into so many theories, and you find that the culture, the language, the education they have acquired, it throws them off ball.
Hmm.
And that's the greatest challenge we have. But you see, when we learn from Daniel, we discover that first things first. And first thing must be first in our lives. Yeah. It has to be, we have to be grounded in the Word. That's why Psalms 119, verse 105 says, "Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path."
Amen. Amen. Well, thank you so much for that. That's how we then, the knowledge itself is not a problem, but it's how we then interpret it and how we apply it.
Absolutely. And in fact, Jesus spoke to this effect and said, look, in John 17, he says, "I pray that you may not take them out of the world, but they may not be of it," in John 17.
Yeah.
We are not of it, but whilst we are here, let us acquire knowledge. I mean, knowledge is good because it brings us into spaces where otherwise would not have been, you know.
Yeah.
We've got great stories like Ben Carson and all those people. When they're in the surgical place and when things get tough, he's surrounded with a group of scientists and everyone is stuck. He's the lead surgeon. He just tells the people, "It's now time to pray." And when they pray, then now God gives them a solution to know how to separate those twins. Now, when people see that, what comes to their mind? They say, "Wow, this gentleman got stuck. He's very knowledgeable. He's a scientist all in his own right, but we had no way. We didn't know. But then he prayed and God gave him a solution."
It brings
a powerful impact upon their lives as well.
Now, usually this kind of an understanding, Dala, that you're raising, this kind of a mindset, I like how Education page 57 says it's not brought about by wishful thinking, right? Such character is only achieved, won by hard-fought, stern battles with self and trying to mold the character to be what it needs to be. I want to find out. I mean, you look at Daniel, for example, right? In the heart of Babylon, he then puts some non-negotiables in his life. "I won't eat certain foods that will corrupt me. I won't pray to other gods that will then deviate me from the protection and the relationship I have with my God." How can we set non-negotiables in our spaces as well, and apply it so that we can utilize this relationship with God and bring it over into the professional space as well?
Well, first and foremost, for every believer, there will always be non-negotiable.
Okay.
And the most important thing is to distinguish the core convictions of one.
Mm-hmm.
Are we going to compromise or are we going to stand for integrity?
Mm.
Are we going to choose to be influential or we are going to decide to be in isolation? So you see, when one has that relationship with God, one has to, certain things are a no-no. They are no-go area.
Okay.
But that doesn't mean we are supposed to be arrogant. Because Daniel was not arrogant. Jesus was not arrogant. Because if you don't stand for something, you're going to fall for everything.
Yeah, that's true.
So to be a man of integrity, to be a man and a woman who is to be different, like Daniel was different, there have to be certain things in our lives which we don't do. We don't move into those places. As a matter of fact, people will know. You say, that one don't even bother. You know, I had an aunt of mine working for one of the ministries here. She was a woman of integrity.
Yeah.
And there were people saying, "No, just tell me where her plot is. I'm going to dump stone, building materials. I'm not even going to go. I'm just going to dump things at her plot. Just tell me where her plot is."
Yeah.
And someone in the ministry told her, "If it's that one, you're wasting your time." So, people must know what we stand for.
Yes.
There has to be non-negotiable. And even in the life of Daniel, we see that he was a loving person, but he was a principled person.
Yeah. No, that is true. That is true. And I like this idea you're raising to say, you know what, people must know, not even to try. To say, this one, we've known how, and that speaks to consistency, right? To say you're always the same person over and over again. There is no shadow of turning with you, as it were. But maybe could there be, and I'm getting a question here from our TikTok live, Pastor Majani asking, and good morning, Maruti, thank you for joining us, asking here that is it possible that some things may be permissible for some but non-negotiable for others? I'm trying to just think of maybe a biblical example. We just spoke about Daniel and how he was a hard and fast guy, right? This is not permissible. I will not be found doing it. I won't bow to any other god. I will continue to pray three times the way I used to do. But you speak up Naaman. Naaman says, I'm converted today. I'm a Christian. Call me an Israelite for all intents and purposes. But here's the problem. When I go back home, I'm still the second in command to my king. So I will go into the temple of his gods to pray, and he will lean on me, which means I must bow down and kneel as well as he leans on me to pray. Please forgive your servant. And Elisha doesn't even say, that's going to be a problem. If you must be for God now, be for God fully. No. He says, no. Go in peace. Go in peace, Naaman. Don't worry. Is it possible that perhaps what's hard and fast for some is not hard and fast for others? What's permissible for others is non-negotiable for others?
Not necessarily. As a matter of fact, we need to when you look at the life of Naaman, who was Naaman? Naaman was being used by God, but Naaman had no relationship with God.
Yeah.
So Naaman, when he even goes for that healing, he had to take for this maid, this servant maid, and say, there's a man of God. And so he goes into that space with pomp, with pride, with wealth, and says, I thought you were going to tell me to move into this water and whatnot. So it is at that point when Naaman acknowledges, there is actually a God.
Yeah.
So you see, Naaman's experience, he's young in faith. He's just had an encounter, just had an experience, So when you are young in faith, you are developing. Look at the story of Daniel and his friends. Before the lion's den and before the fiery furnaces, they were first tested with food, Were first tested with food. And even before the food, there were other tests. Now, they are coming into that space. They are growing in God. They are growing in Christ. So it's not that one thing is permissible and the other thing is allowable. God, it's the word of God which encompasses all of us. And that's a rule of our faith. And that's how we are strong in these things. And we see these examples in the lives of the apostles. Mm-hmm. Remember, they all slumbered and slept. They all left him. Peter uses a sword and cuts him, and Jesus had to take it back and bring it back. But then when they had received the baptism, we see a shift. These who were once fearful are no longer fearful. These who were once running away are bold. They now start preaching the word with boldness. Peter was denying Christ. Can you hear me? Can you hear me?
Yes, we can get you loud. We can get you loud and clear. I just wanted to confirm to say what I'm hearing you then say is the standard is the same for everybody. What might differ then is our levels of faith. And sometimes God permits those different levels to be expressed differently. I think it was it's Acts chapter 17, right? Which will speak to how God winks at the times of ignorance. It's not that the ignorant things they did are permissible. No, they're still unpermissible, but it's their ignorance that gives them almost like a leeway. I hear you, Mdala, loud and clear.
And you see there is growth.
Yes.
And when one sins, you still need to confess. But as we are growing, when we come into the full knowledge of God, we are there's no compromise to that.
There is no compromise to that. Indeed. What is Mashani is saying here? Just to give context, so earlier on I was playing a song by a group, Maverick City, which spoke about how we ought to give our lives to God. Jireh, they call, is the name of the song, and how we ought to let Him reign in our lives. And of course, it's a song by a popular music group, Non-Adventist, and he was saying, when I looked at it, the song blessed me, but how many will object to the choice of song? Oh, how dare you play a song that is of the, we sometimes even call it of the world, right? Some people rightfully feel that the song is not good for them, while others are blessed by the same. And I think that's sometimes the thing with life. One thing that blesses one sometimes does not bless the other, and there needs to be then that balance to say, what is the principle? And it's actually a conversation I'm looking to have one day. We'll see how we can do it to say, what is mere Christianity? What is that essence of Christianity, which was the core of it, which when everything else has been removed, remains as being as being the one that remains.
Yeah.
Let's just continue here, Muruti. Despite being in exile, you find Daniel serving the Babylonian Empire. He doesn't rebel and say, I'll give you a half-hearted thing because you're not godly. He gives them excellence. In fact, the testimony of Daniel is even his enemies could not find fault with the way he conducted his business, right?
Yes.
How does that call to seek peace of the city? Jeremiah 29:7 will say this, apply to our civic duties as well, to say perhaps you're not working for the church, you're not working for a godly person, you're working for a secular person or even the government in this case, but still you ought to bring your best to the plow. How do we do that, and how can we balance that?
You see, you know, these are profound lessons. Like you rightfully put it, pray for the prosperity of the city so that it can be well with you. Now remember, God is telling his children to pray, and yet they're in exile. They're in exile. But then you see
let me cut you a bit then. when you mention this idea of they're being told to pray, I mean Jeremiah 29, when you go down, we love that verse 11. Oh, God knows the plans that he has for you. And yet, we always speak it as though God is never going to allow you to go into tough times. But this is an instruction that's coming to a people on their way to exile, on their way to captivity. And God is saying, no, go to exile. I know the plans I have for you in this captivity I'm sending you in. And so it becomes profound. But, you know, quite a point you're raising there. I really concur.
Yes. So, you see, at the end of the day, whether you are in exile or you are in a place of freedom, we should understand one thing. God ultimately is the ruler.
Amen. Amen.
But he teaches us a principle that you see, even when you are in spaces that may not be comfortable, you need to pray. And you see, a lot of us, we may not want, in fact, some of us we may want to pray for the death. You know, let them all die. Because we are the believers, they are unbelievers. But you see one thing, when you're under rulership, when you're under government, we should realize that when the economy affects the government, it affects the citizens.
Okay.
So for the sake of God's children, God says, you know what, you're in this space. And when you pray, I'm going to allow a situation whereby you can thrive in spite of or despite of, regardless of the situation, you are going to thrive. And so Daniel was able to thrive. He was excellent. You know, Daniel 6, he was a man of integrity. They couldn't find anything. So Daniel didn't say, no, because I'm more wise and I'm wiser than these guys in Babylon. Others will say, you know what, I'm not going to tell them what to do. Look at all those examples of Joseph. You know, 7 years of plenty and, you know, do this, do that. So we are learning that as believers, when given an opportunity, let's move into those spaces because our light will shine the greatest. Our light will shine the greatest in those spaces. They will be able to tell, this one is not even one of us. But it's because we can tell that it's because of him and the wisdom he or she has, we are benefiting. And that does something to the nation when they are looking up to you as a foreigner, but you are connected to your God.
Time is out, Muruti, but I wanted us to really touch on this, and I think that's a profound one. I think I remember Laban saying the same words to his nephew, Jacob, right, to say, I know the Lord has blessed me because of you, and that needs to be because of the excellent way we conduct ourselves. The challenge is sometimes we've got a chameleon mentality, right, that when we get brought into spaces, we believe that the only way to succeed is to morph and become like what those spaces look like and not stick out, then we can be more accepted in those roles. The thing that they made us choose, they made them choose us, is because of our difference, and that's what they're looking for, not just more of the same. I want us to close with this idea. When you see Daniel in the lion's den, he's praying, right? And we don't get the sense that Daniel is flustered, he's afraid. We don't feel that at all in the scripture. What we actually hear is the king is the one who is afraid for Daniel, right? And the same thing goes as he is living. You know, it was the custom that when a new king came in, especially a new kingdom altogether, when they would come through, they would kill off everybody who was serving in the old administration, because that's where revolt would come from. But yet we find Daniel surviving king after king. I mean, he was serving under Nebuchadnezzar. Nebuchadnezzar kind of retired, and he gave his grandson the throne, and he was serving under him. Belshazzar was taken out completely, and a new regime, Middle Persia, came through, and still Daniel is being called for to be an administrator. Yes. Talk to us about this idea of integrity, of close personal relationship with God, and how that can sustain us through the different shifting sands of time. Maybe talk to us quickly as we wrap up, Mdala, maybe in just 2 minutes.
You know what, Brother Derek? It's the same thing with media ethics.
Okay.
You know, it's the same principle. You reject what is unbiblical, but you still stand for the truth. You are still standing on moral ground, you know? Daniel, being an educated person, you see, education is a tool. It's not a master.
Okay.
It's a means by which we can use to get to that place. And when we've obtained this knowledge, the knowledge does not remove us from God, rather, it validates our position. So in the case of Daniel, and that's what we've been learning today, integrity creates credibility. And you see, if there's something that people want, themselves they can be corrupt. But they will say, no, we'd rather have someone who is credible, because we know things on top will be good. So integrity creates credibility. And so his character made him stand out to the unbelieving kings from one administration to another. They brought him back. Why? Because he was operating in excellence. And you see, excellence opens doors. Credibility opens doors. Wisdom, he was full of wisdom. He was diligent in his work. He was competent. He was set apart. So just, you see, and this was, it teaches us a lesson that you can be a believer, but you can be competent.
Yes.
You can be hardworking. And you see, that's why when his enemies tried to find fault, they couldn't find anything in his life work. They checked his book. They checked his work culture. They checked his deliverables, how he was delivering. They couldn't find anything. And so we see Daniel's greatest moments of witness came after his integrity was tested.
Amen.
Not before, but after his integrity was tested, that is when the greatest moment of his witness was.
Yeah.
Because integrity makes God visible. It makes God more visible than having a crusade.
Amen. Amen. More visible than a crusade, right?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And you know one thing, Brother Derek?
Yes, sir.
As believers, we are all going to face hostility towards faith. We can't run away from that. Because it's this integrity, it's this that exposed the corruption. And what happens next? Opposition forms. But it's not for us to cow down when we are facing opposition. No. How he handled it shows us as believers how we can handle it.
Amen.
Because when we pray, because here we learn a lesson of prayer. When Daniel prayed, you allow God to move into the spaces where, humanly speaking, you can't move.
You can't do it by yourself. Certainly.
So he did not organize an uprising. He did not organize a protest.
But he
showed up, did what he did, and that was be constant with your lifestyle, even under pressure.
Amen.
Because there's someone who is watching. Someone has got to learn that lesson.
Yeah.
And God becomes more visible when there is that.
Amen.
God becomes
visible. Well, thank you, Elder Mangu. May God bless you. And we appreciate your lesson. Until we chat again tomorrow, keep well.
Amen. God bless you.
Thank you so much. That's Elder Mangu talking to us this morning as we are considering this idea of integrity, even in spaces where integrity is being challenged. And which one, that's the greatest witness, more important, more potent, more powerful than if you were to hold a campaign in your workspace. Your integrity speaks more volumes.
Adventist World Radio SID Media. We are not general practitioners. We are specialists in Bible-based content.